Athletes train in ways that condition and challenge them physically. They spend countless hours doing physically demanding training that often has nothing to do, in a direct way, with their particular sport, though they are not weightlifters or bodybuilders. Many athletes train with weights. They are not contortionists, yet most athletes do some form of stretching. Though it is self-imposed, we might call this training adversity. It's strenuous, it's difficult, and it may be very unpleasant and painful at times. One may debate whether a bowler is technically an athlete. It still makes my point. Bowling is considered a target sport. But for example, a bowler may jog, lift weights, and stretch on a regular basis for overall fitness, even though none of these things involve specifically working on his bowling techniques. These exercises are not focused on his or her stance or delivery or how they hold and release the ball and numerous other things. Well, if it's not directly related to the sport, and if it's difficult to the point that one might call it adversity, why would they do it? They do it because they recognize and appreciate the benefits. Strength, flexibility, endurance, discipline. They understand the value. Well, the Bible also talks about the benefits of adversity. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The world in which we live is characterized by adversity. Everywhere we look, there are disasters, tragedies, trauma, misery, suffering, and loss. We witness it all around us. But what happens when adversity becomes up close and personal? What happens when the adversity strikes us? How does the Lord want us to respond when we come face to face with trials? And what is He trying to teach us through our difficulties? In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28, the Apostle Paul described the various forms of adversity he experienced in his service for Christ. Imprisonments, beatings, shipwrecks, exposure, hunger, thirst, and other dangers. Why would the Lord allow Paul, the man who introduced the Roman world to Jesus Christ, why would the Lord allow this man to suffer like this and to eventually be killed? In the very next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the special blessings, the special revelations he had known as an apostle. Then he mentions a thorn in the flesh, some severe difficulty, some adversity that he faced. And he talks about how he prayed that the Lord would remove this adversity. I'll read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. He writes, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul then says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." From a human perspective, Paul's suffering may seem unfair, but God used Paul's hardships and pain to accomplish His will. While Paul was in prison in Rome, he wrote the letters of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul was filled with joy because he understood that through adversity, God accomplishes his divine purposes and works for our ultimate good. It may be helpful to remember a few of the characteristics of adversity. Adversity is universal. It's everywhere. It's not limited to only a few nations or regions of the globe. Adversity is impartial. Trouble comes to us all. The theory is still alive that bad things happen only to bad people. But trouble is impartial. It comes to the good and bad, visits the old and the young, the weak and the strong, believers and unbelievers. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. It doesn't discriminate based on race or your financial or educational status. COVID-19 has reminded us that adversity is impartial. Adversity is painful. The pain can come through mistreatment from others at work or at school or in the community, among peers and in the family. The pain can be physical, emotional, or relational. But whatever the source, it hurts. Adversity is often beyond our control. We may feel helpless, and we may have no answer for why God would allow us to go through it. Adversity demands our attention, and so there's always a response to adversity. Depending on our response, adversity will either drive us to the Lord, or it will drive us away from Him. We could respond to adversity by looking for someone to blame, but this approach only intensifies our anger until we become bitter. Another option is to try to avoid pain and problems by dulling our senses. We escape. Some choose to escape with alcohol, drugs, or other sinful behaviors, but these only complicate our lives. They only lead to more problems and self-destruction. If we claim that all is well in the midst of diversity, when in fact it is not, we call this denial. And if we engage in this response, we will continue to suffer internal hurt and anger. Then there's the pity party. Self-pity. We've all done this, but a pity party never accomplishes anything positive. It simply displays an unwillingness to take responsibility for the situation and our response to it. But instead of responding in any of these destructive ways, the only viable option, the only option that produces hope, is to seek the Lord. We should come to God with our confusion and our pain. We should come to God asking Him to help us trust Him. He doesn't take delight in our suffering. He wants to use it to achieve what's best for us. At the time we're suffering the pain, it may be emotionally difficult to realize the value of the difficulty, the adversity, but we've seen that the Bible makes it clear that there are benefits, and the Scriptures also give some principles that can help us through adversity. If we're confident of the Lord's love for us, and if we understand how He uses adversity in our lives, we'll be better able to trust Him and to respond in a way that benefits us and glorifies Him. First, adversity teaches us to trust in God and not in ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10, Paul explained that he and his co-workers had suffered severely. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not trust in ourselves, but that we should trust in God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again." Adversity helps shape our character. Pain and suffering teach us that the greatest good of the Christian life is not absence of pain. The greatest good of the Christian life is to be Christ-like. The Lord often uses adversity to correct our thinking, to turn us around, and to guide us onto His path. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." Third, adversity helps us learn to comfort others who are going through struggles themselves. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Someone has said, one cannot comfort effectively until he has lain in the bed of suffering. We just read where Paul referred to God as the God of all comfort. When we are hurting, the God of all comfort is waiting to help. Fourth, adversity gets our attention. Adversity wakes us from our slumber. Pain, suffering causes us to sit up and take note of the things that really matter in life. Adversity forces us to look to God when otherwise we might prefer to ignore Him. C.S. Lewis said, "Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, but God shouts in our pains." He then says, "Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Adversity gets our attention. Fifth, adversity bankrupts us. Our suffering helps us see how helpless we are. Our suffering makes us recognize that we are dependent upon God. When we suffer, we're forced to focus upon our own weaknesses. We're forced to realize that there is no remedy within us. It is hard to be haughty when you are hurting. As we read moments ago from the Apostle Paul, he said, "We despaired of life itself. We felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not trust in ourselves, but that we should trust in God." Adversity highlights the fact that we are all frail human beings, that we are not in control, that we are not God. Sixth, adversity teaches us God's priorities. Adversity teaches us that God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. In Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Rick Warren has said, "God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in making your life holy than He is in making your life happy." One more reason we should appreciate adversity is that adversity makes us homesick. Adversity sharpens our awareness that earth is not our permanent home. The Apostle Peter wrote to Christians who were getting ready to suffer for their faith. In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, Peter encouraged them not to despair by reminding them that they were merely strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. Like the song we sometimes sing, Peter was saying, "This world is not our home. We're just passing through." Adversity either humbles us or it hardens us. We choose which. The Bible is the guidebook for adversity. The Word of God shows us how to walk through times of adversity. It reminds us of God's love. It tells us about His purposes for trials. It encourages us to endure, and it strengthens us in the process. One of the primary reasons we struggle in adversity and give in to despair and hopelessness is ignorance of the Scriptures. The Lord wants to help us through affliction, but we must open His Word to receive guidance, to receive His comfort, to receive His assurance. Again, God is more concerned for our spiritual well-being than He is for our earthly comfort. God is more concerned for our souls than He is for our physical health. To put it another way, out of His deep love for us, God is more interested in making His children like Christ so we can be with Him eternally than He is interested in making us more comfortable here on this planet. But it needs to be said that Christ wants us to have the good life while we are here. It is Christ who said in John chapter 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we are gravely mistaken when we take that to mean that Christ wants to keep us free from any pain, any sacrifice, and any suffering. We are on the right path when we come to understand that true happiness is not the absence of pain and suffering as much as true happiness is a relationship with God. True happiness is the presence of God even in the midst of pain and tragedy and suffering. Every tragedy reminds us of our humanity, and that's a blessing. Every tragedy reminds us that we are not invincible. Every tragedy reminds us of our mortality on this earth. Every tragedy reminds us that we are not in control. The glory that the Father receives from redeeming sinners like us and remaking us into His image will be the song that fills the halls of heaven for all eternity. Let's learn the valuable lesson of appreciating adversity.